All right, here we are. Here's our sermon title. After the tribulation, Christ comes. Mark 13, Matthew 24. All right, Art, if you take us to our next slide. We're going to look at what Christ said in Mark, what Christ said in Matthew. We're going to look at what Paul wrote. We're going to look at what John wrote about. We're going to look at what Jude wrote about. And what we're going to find is that all these men, Christ and his apostles, were talking about the exact same event. We're going to unpack this event with the most detail we can and with the greatest amount of clarity and passion that the Lord will give us this morning as we look at the glorious second coming of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter number 13. Let's stand for the reading God's word, and then we'll move right back to Matthew. We want to draw these two texts together. I'm going to start with verse 21, in fact. I want to back up just a little bit more. Verse 21, and then if any man shall say to you, lo, see, here is Christ, or lo, there is Christ, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders and to seduce, and if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, ye, behold, I have foretold you all things. In those days after that, tribulation, number one, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds or the four corners, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. All right, turn back to Matthew. Matthew 24, please. And again, I want you to notice just a few slightly different things in Matthew's account of the same teaching. Verse 23. Matthew 24, verse 23. I'm going to back it up again just a little bit more. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, and it is not, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Therefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. If they say to you, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now look at verse 28. I want you to remember this now, because we're gonna get to this all the way at the end of the sermon. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the star shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they, the angels, shall gather together his elect from the four winds or the corners, from one end of heaven to the other. Let's pray. Father, we want to know all that can be known about this great event, the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds with great power and glory. We want to know all about it. We want to know every detail. We want to know every sign that's available to be known. We want to understand it inside and out. And we pray, God, that you would give us clarity this morning, that you would help us set aside all our presuppositions and the degree to which movies and novels have influenced what we think instead of the Word of God. We pray, God, that you would bring that to our attention. We pray, Lord, that we would recognize that a movie created by an author is not the same as the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to study diligently, even these next 50 minutes and also throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. What question is Jesus answering? The question Jesus is answering is found in verse number 3 of chapter number 24, and it goes something like this. And he sat on the Mount Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So we're still answering that question. We still want to know, what are the signs of your coming, Lord Jesus? When will the world end, Lord Jesus? You've described it. You've predicted your death, burial, and resurrection. Now we want to know, when are you coming back to establish your kingdom? When can we expect you, Lord? You told us these things would happen. These rocks would be torn down. And so we're looking for signs. What are the signs that we can expect to find when you are coming? What are the signs of the end of the world? Verse 24 said, from the book of Mark, "But in those days after that the tribulation." Notice how Paul in 2 Timothy 4:1 says, "I charge Timothy therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick," that's the alive, "and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom," and his kingdom. So I want you to understand that the Word of God takes the coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom and cements them together. Cements them together. That when he comes, his kingdom will be established. And I'll show you that throughout the message. Here's a graphic that I put together. This is my graphic, so if you don't like it, take it up with me. 7 years of tribulation, tribulation 3.5, tribulation, great tribulation. I put the stools back up to remind you from last Sunday morning that we said that stool number 1 represented the first 3.5 years, stool number 2 represented the second 3.5 years, 1,260 days or 42 months. I said that in between these two stools, an abomination of desolation, the Antichrist would rise up, show himself as God in the temple of God, and insist that he be worshipped as God. I told you this would be the beginning of the great tribulation. Jesus says after that great tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, the moon will be darkened. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Now, before we even get into the rest of this, let's take our Bible for just a moment. You're in Matthew, I hope. Turn over, please, to chapter 27. I want you to remind you that these things, to a limited degree, have already happened in a slightly amazing way. If you would just look at Matthew 27, we're not preaching this text. I just want to draw your attention to two ideas that have already happened. I made reference here to the sun will be darkened. I made reference to the moon will not give its light. And in the bottom corner, I have the dead in Christ rising to meet the Lord in the air and to receive their glorified bodies. I'm going to preach that entire slide this morning. What I want to draw to your attention is that at the death of Christ in verse 45, the Bible says, "Now from the sixth hour," that's noon, "there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." So at a bare minimum, we had 3 hours of a solar eclipse when Christ was on the cross. Now, look down now to verse 52. Let's look at 51. "The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. All right, we've got that. Now notice verse 52. If you want something, that'll blow your mind. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Wow. Wow. What would it have been like to be on Jerusalem that weekend? I mean, Fayetteville had a Friday night, Fourth Friday thing, zombie something. All right? All those people were alive. Not these. These people came up out of graves and went into the city, demonstrating that Jesus Christ has the power to raise the dead from the grave. So in a few minutes, we're going to talk about this all over again, this resurrection. And I don't want you to be surprised. I want you to recognize this is normal business for God. What is this G-H-E-4-W? Let's gather his elect from the four winds. So the graph is the Son of Man is coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The dead in Christ are rising to meet him. The angels are gathering his elect. And this is all associated with the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want you to see how Paul was talking about the exact same event in 2 Thessalonians. So would you turn over there, please? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, please. Thessalonians is that little tiny letter tucked away, very small, after the prison epistles and right before Timothy. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, go eat popcorn is how I always remember that. Galatians, Ephesians, go eat Philippians and Colossians. And then you'll find 1 and 2 Thessalonians. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. And he's writing to combat a heresy that's going around. Let's look at it together. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand or has already come." So now Paul is addressing within this church here, somebody was circulating a letter that said, you missed the coming of Christ. You missed it. And they believed that this letter was authored by Paul, and they were very concerned. They were troubled in their spirits. Wait a minute, have we missed the second coming of Christ? Did we miss it? And Paul says to them, I beseech you that you not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. The church at Thessalonica, now let me remind you where Thessalonica is. Here is Italy right over here. Northern Africa is right over here. Here's the Aegean Sea. Thessalonica is tucked up right over here. Turkey's over here. Iraq or Iran, this region right over here. And there's this little city, Thessalonica. And Paul has established a church there. And now he's written to them two letters. In this second letter, he's writing to them about their fear that they missed the second coming. We missed it. And he says, wait, well, don't be troubled. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So if you're looking to know when is Christ coming again, look for the falling away and the son of perdition. And so Harold Camping needs to read his Bible. Because he keeps on predicting date after date after date after date. And what he needs to be looking for is the revelation of the Antichrist. Because the revelation of the Antichrist will provide the clarity for when Christ is coming. Because Paul said that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. that the day of Christ shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And so Jesus said after the tribulation, and Mark wrote it and Paul wrote it. Paul says that this day of Christ right here will not come until the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the beast, will reveal himself. Then you can begin looking for the second coming. Then you can begin looking for it. Don't look over here because the Son of Man has not been revealed. All right. Yet, I'll tell you right now that I would never, ever want to say to somebody, Christ could not come today. Never. Wait a minute, preacher. You just turned around and you told us 1 second ago and all last week that Christ is going to come right here. You're telling us that right now. Yes. Because I believe with all my heart that there is a Daniel 70th week yet to come. But let me be clear about something. I don't believe this like I believe that Jesus is the Christ. There are levels of convictions. I don't believe everything with the same level of intensity. Some of us are going to agree to disagree tonight on Sunday night on tongues. I am not going to separate fellowship with anybody over that issue. Now, if you disagree with me about whether Jesus is the Son of God, I'm going to break fellowship over that. That is a hard, fast thing that I must insist upon. But you need to understand, church, we don't have the same level of clarity on this issue. We don't have anything that says, I am coming after Daniel's 70th week, and that is yet to be fulfilled. We don't. We're reading the text, we're studying the text, we're doing our very best to read and read and study and discuss and read and read and read. But everyone does not agree with what I just said. And there's no way in the world this preacher right here feels comfortable putting God in a box. I will not put a God in a box that he has not put himself already in. You say, what do you mean by that? All right, I can walk up to you and tell you, David, God cannot lie. Now that is a box that God put himself in. So I can put God in the box that he put himself in. I can tell you without a doubt that God is everywhere and insist upon that. I can argue with you to the blue in the face and insist that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the exclusive of the way because he said it. But we do not have that clarity with every single issue in the Bible. We as Christians need to be able to recognize those issues with which we have overarching, unequivocal clarity. And on those issues, we insist upon it beyond a doubt. For example, the virgin birth. If Christ is not virgin born, throw the whole thing out. But I am not going to sit up here and tell you beyond a doubt that Jesus cannot come back today because I have figured out when he's coming back. Not going to do that. I am going to tell you, though, that according to this Bible, Mark 13, he's coming after the tribulation to establish his kingdom. And I am basing my entire interpretation on this being Daniel's 70th week. Yet to be fulfilled. And I'm doing it based on Daniel. I'm doing it based on Revelation. I'm doing it based on the references to the false prophet that I taught last week. I'm doing it based on the 42 months. I'm doing it based on the 1260 days. So I believe, church, with all my heart, that I'm doing with great biblical evidence. But I want to tell you, in integrity and in honesty, that there are godly men that disagree with me. This is Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry is a brilliant man. And he said that the tribulation is all the years of suffering. That's what he said. So he didn't see the same thing I said. This is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This is the Prince of Baptist Preachers. I love this man. I believe he's incredibly brilliant. 17 years old, he's preaching to thousands of people. And he did not preach about Daniel's 70th week. I don't know why, but he didn't. So in my integrity before you, you need to understand something. I don't have a hotline. Okay? I study the Bible just like you do. I study the Bible just like you do. I study the Bible just like you do. I get on my hands and knees just like you do. I pray that God would open my eyes just like you pray that God would open my eyes. And in the end, Sunday rolls around and I got to preach it. That's the way it goes. I have poured hours and hours into this sermon this week. Early in the morning till late at night. And then it comes time to preach the text, and that's what I'm going to do this morning. And I'm going to do it with all my heart. I believe that this entire movie series has created lots of misperceptions in the eyes of people. And some people think that there's a silent evacuation that occurs in which nobody's going to know what happened. That there's this quiet evacuation occurs, and I have no idea how that is to be reconciled with a great sound of a trumpet. And we're not talking about a trumpet like this, folks. All right, this is a cosmic trumpet. A cosmic trumpet. It's God's trumpet. And when he blows it, Paul will tell us in a few minutes that the dead in Christ are going to rise forth. From the Left Behind series websites, one of them, I was reading this weekend, and I want to show this to your attention. He says, the rapture is a non-event to the world. Only 8 people were saved from the flood. 8 people, Noah and his wife and their 3 sons and wives. So no one was saved when the flood came. I can't help but believe that when the rapture happens, it will almost be a non-event to the world. I doubt if it will even cause a ripple in the news. I have no idea how he thinks that. I have no idea how anyone could say such a thing based on what I read in Mark and what I read in Matthew. Sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light, the dead in Christ rising, trumpet blowing, people coming out of the graves, others being ushered up to the heavens, and you're telling me you think that's a non-event? According to Revelation 1:7, it says, behold, when he comes with the clouds, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And yet, if you look at the Left Behind series, you get the impression that it's no big deal. To some people. It depends on in the series. But what I read is that every eye sees him. Here's a short 1-minute video that we will not watch. I just grabbed a couple screen clips for a minute. I don't want to even waste our time with it. But the preacher's up there preaching his heart out like we are this morning. The students are sitting right there. And then, boom, the rapture occurs. And there, the Bible drops. And some people are gone and they're clueless. And everybody goes, oh, that's like the rapture. Wait a minute, not quite. Because they act like they don't know what's happening. But when he comes again, everyone's going to know. Everyone is going to see him. The trumpet shall sound. The dead in Christ are rising. We which are alive are going to meet him in the air. And you're telling me that somebody's not going to notice that? Matthew 24:27 says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible doesn't teach a secret return of Christ. You know what I mean by a secret return? You know, like Blackhawks under the radar, sneaking in there, snatch and grab operation. Nobody knows what's happening. No. That's not the coming of our Lord. The coming of our Lord is, I'm coming! So, I want you to ask you this. Consider this for just a moment. The sun shall be dark and the moon shall not give its light. I want you to consider for just a moment how a global solar eclipse would set the conditions for everyone to see the Son of Man coming. Now look what the text just said. Go back, Art. It says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth in the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Lightning is its brightest when it is darkest. So now I want you to imagine for just a moment a solar eclipse, a global solar and lunar eclipse. Think about for a moment the utter darkness that would create. People are not going to be in the mall shopping when there's a solar eclipse and everything is utterly dark and we're having stars falling out of the skies. They can be going about minding their own business and all that kind of stuff. The cosmic conditions are going to be set for the full revelation of the Son of Man in the sky, such that every eye is looking for him. Or something. Maybe not him, but something. Something. I don't say they're looking for Jesus, But I'm saying the conditions are set where they're looking for some deliverance. Just imagine a solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse. All right, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want you to read what Paul has to say about the same idea. Yes, we're looking at lots of scripture because we need to have a full picture of this. And I want you to see how Paul is describing the same event. This is the first letter written to the church of Thessalonica, and he writes in verse number 13 of chapter number 4. All right, go ahead and put our first slide up. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you ignorant, brother. You need to know about these things. Concerning them which are asleep. Those are the dead. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Where are the dead? With the Lord. We don't want you sorrowing about them. They're sorrowing. They're wondering, where are the dead? Are they going to miss the second coming of Christ? We're alive. We'll still be here to receive it. What about them? Are they going to miss the second coming of Christ? I don't want you ignorant about this. I don't want you sorrowing about this, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, and we do, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Jesus. So now we've described people on the earth right over here. After the tribulation, people on the earth. Christ comes, and with him, not only does he bring his holy angels, but all the dead in Christ are coming with him as well. All of them. No rear detachment on this mission. Everybody's launching with Jesus. They're all going forth. All of them. They're all going. Nobody is left behind. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Paul said it like this one chapter earlier. Establish yourself with this truth. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So either you're alive at his coming or you're coming back with him. One of the two. If you're saved this morning, if you're born again, redeemed, blood-washed saints, trusting in Christ and Christ alone, there are two options. Option number one, you may be alive if we get to that in your lifetime. Option number two, you're coming back with him. For this we say to you by the word of our Lord, that we which are alive and remain will not prevent them which are asleep in the dead. The Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. How similar does that sound to you to Matthew 24? Angels, trump, very similar, doesn't it? Coming again, very similar language. Paul is talking about the same event. And he says that he is coming to receive them that are alive. So let us use the stage for the sake of discussion and say the stage represents people alive, and this platform right here, the floor, represents dead people. Their souls have already gone to be with the Lord. Yes or no? Absent from the body is present with the... But they do not have bodies at this point. They do not have bodies. They're coming back as spirit beings at this point. In order to see them, they need a visible body. Paul's going to tell us about this in 1 Corinthians 15. Get rid of your natural body, take on a spiritual body. So their physical bodies are being resurrected from their graves and are going forward. And so what you can imagine here on my right hand using the clicker is a soul or a spirit of a person who's died in Christ. And in my left hand right here is their body coming out of the grave. And in a twinkling of eye or a moment of time, according to 1 Corinthians 15, they will be changed. Permanently reunited with a glorified body forever to be with the Lord. All right, that answers the people in the grave. They're now united with all those that have died. What about us? We're alive at that time. We then are going to be caught up to be with them as well. So whether you're dead in Christ or you're alive, you will not miss it. You won't miss it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Paul said it like this: for every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Returning souls become visible saints when they are reunited with their glorified bodies. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Some of you are not going to die. Some of you are going to die. If you die, no problem. You will meet your body in the air. If you're alive, he's going to send angels to find you and get you up there to be with him. Look at this amazing prophecy in Jude. Turn over to Jude. That's that book right before Revelation. 6 years ago, we preached through this. Turn to Revelation, all the way to the back of your Bible, and then back up a page or two, and you'll find it. Just a tiny little letter, and it has an amazing prophecy in it. Just an amazing prophecy. How many can remember who Enoch is? Enoch is the man that walked with God but was not. That is to say, he did not die. He was translated. Translated. According to Jude chapter number 4, one chapter, only one chapter, verse 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, now look what he's prophesied. This is probably 6,000 years ago, folks. Prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Why, Lord? Why are you coming with 10,000s of your saints? He is coming to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all their kinds of hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, consider for just a moment what I described to you over here. I told you that as we transition somewhere along this timeline right here, this being the end of tribulation, this being 3.5 years, this is the abomination of desolation in the middle of it, and this is the first 3.5 years, I told you that somewhere along this timeline, there would be a great falling away or apostasy. Remember we talked about that? A great falling away. Now, having said that, a great falling away or a great apostasy, we should not be surprised that Jude then is describing that Christ comes back to execute judgment upon all and to convince all of their ungodly among them, their ungodly deeds, among their ungodly committed. They have hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. They are murmurers. They are complainers. They are walking after their own lusts. Their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But you, but beloved, you, us, believers, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last day. So we should not be surprised that there are scoffers in this time, that there are mockers in this time. These are the signs that we can look for. And the greater degree to which we see the world going into apostasy means the closer we are to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a glorious truth right there. You say, why is it a glorious truth? Because absent from the body is present with the Lord. We are not going to be disappointed. There's nothing about what your current life has that you will miss. Nothing. You're not going to say, wow, what about, and then fill in the blank. Okay? Pastor Dwayne? God, in an amazing way, will figure out a way to replace Wolfpack football and basketball in your life. I don't know how, but he's going to do it. There's nothing that you're going to miss. Nothing. You can't win them all, brother. Next slide. So verse 17, going back to 1 Thessalonians, I know we're flipping a lot of scripture around, but I'm showing you how it ties together. Going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, I want you to see the next thing he says. So after he talks about the dead rising, we which are alive will not prevent him, he says very clearly, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So in verse number 17, you have a catching away happening to meet the Lord in the air. So let's go back over to this corner of our timeline. Tribulation has ended, abomination, desolation. Tribulation has ended 42 months, 1,280 days. The sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give its life. Stars are falling from heaven. The powers in heaven are shaken. Then, as lightning from the sky, east to west, so comes the Son of Man. And we, which are alive at that given time, any Christian, any believer on the earth, is going to be caught up to be with the Lord. No one's left on the earth. So let's get this straight. No one's left in heaven. No one's left on the earth. Everyone is now reunited in the air with Christ. Any saint from Adam forward that's died with Christ, believer, any. All those alive at the time, united with Christ to meet him in the air. Now this word, this Greek word right here is an awesome word, this word meet. Let me unpack it a little bit. It gives you the idea of a welcoming committee of sorts. So let's say for the sake of discussion that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that next Sunday morning at 10:45, Jesus Christ will be the preacher at Berean Baptist Church. And that he is coming by way of a motorcade from Raleigh down to Berean Baptist Church. Now all of us that are bananas for Jesus, we will not sit in this auditorium and wait for him to arrive at 10:45. If we know his route, what will we do in anticipation of his arrival? What will we do, church? We will go out to meet him, won't we? We will be so excited about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming to be with us that we will line the roads in admiration, almost like Jesus entering into the city of Jerusalem in the week before his death. Greeting him, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And as he drives back, we will follow with him until we're all with him in here. None of us will sit in here saying, I wonder when Jesus showed up. 5 minutes, five more minutes, and I'm out of here. You know that professor rule, you know, where you give them 10 minutes and you're out of class. Not with us, not me. I'm not sitting here. I'm going out here. Anybody coming with me? All right, that's exactly what's being described right here, is that we will be gathered by the angels to meet him in the air. The angels, the angels will guide us. The angels will direct us as to where to be until there is a global reunion of all those that have died in Christ, all those alive, all those that are Christ will meet him in the air. Next slide. So, these are the signs that we're looking for. In those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be dark and the moon shall give her light. Cosmic signs, solar and lunar eclipse. These signs keep the coming of the Lord from sneaking up on us like a thief in the night. These signs do. Because we have been taught what the Word of God says, and we know what to look for. But if you are Richard Dawkins, atheist chief, and you don't care about the Bible, and you think it's a stupid book, and you don't pay attention to it, then you will blame science on all the global things, and you will not think for even a moment that this is God's stuff. So for him, it will sneak upon him like a thief in the night. But for those of us that know the truth, we will be looking for these things. So again, tribulation, abomination, desolation, great tribulation, sun and moon will darken, the moon will not give us light, stars are going to fall from heaven, powers of heaven will be shaken, angels are going to gather your elect from the four corners of the world, dead in Christ are going to be rising to meet reunited with their souls, and all of us will meet the Lord in the air. So stars from heaven, is this literal or figurative? We're not sure. We just have to be honest with you, we're not sure. We don't know whether stars from heaven is a meteor shower or whether this represents something a little bit more figurative like in the book of Revelation where demons are being booted to the earth. Now you just have to study this. I don't have time to go into this. You study it this week. Revelation 6, Revelation 12, send me an email. Let me know what you think it is. But in Revelation 12 it says that the third part of the stars of heaven did cast them to the earth. So is this referring to increased demonic activity? I don't know. Then shall the Son of Man become in the clouds. This is Daniel language. Like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven. With great power and glory. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. We're well on target. We're going to finish right on time this morning. Turn over to Revelation 19. Look at this language. And I saw, John the Apostle writes, Revelation 19, and I saw And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written on that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called Word of God, the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed and in fine linen. Now you understand why we must meet the Lord in the air. And out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He should rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress, and the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. So, let's go back over here. Look at the love of God. Look at the mercy of God. Before the Lord Jesus Christ rains devastation down on the earth, Pastor Duane, he evacuates all the believers. All of them. Gets them out of there. He sends his holy angels to gather them up to the four corners of the earth. Do the angels know where every Christian that's been persecuted is hiding? Absolutely. And he finds them, such that there are none left behind. And only until all the Christians, Jews converted, 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe, anyone else that's saved during the tribulation, all those that are believers, Gentiles, Jews, all of them, no one is left behind. Then the earth is void of the righteous. And what can he do now at this point? He rains down wrath upon who? The unbelievers. Unbelievers. And that's exactly what's being described in this text. Let's keep reading it, because I want you to see one or two more parallels. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. Now, isn't that interesting? What is an angel doing standing in the sun? Did we not read about solar eclipses a few minutes ago? Now, again, I'm not positive. I'm just showing you parallels, folks. That's all. I'm just showing you amazing parallels. I would not insist upon something like this and stomp my foot and tell you have to find it my way. But I find it amazing that he's talking about sun, an angel standing in the sun. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying, all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven. Now, isn't that amazing? We just read in Matthew 24 that eagles are being called to consume carcasses. And he says that fowls are being consumed to do the same thing. That they may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses, and then that sat on them, and the flesh of all that were men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought the miracles before him, which were deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of his mouth that sat on the horse, which proceeded forth from out of the mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now go have a good lunch. Okay? We're talking about the battle of Armageddon here, folks. At the end of the 7 years of tribulation. The next event after this is judgment. And then the ushering into a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. All right. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Not us. We know God. If you know God this morning, then it's not you. And that obey not the gospel. Those that obey the gospel are the elect, and the angels are sent forth to pull the elect out, to gather the elect out. They're going to gather his elect. The elect are being gathered from the four corners of the uttermost part of the earth because persecuted Christians have obeyed the commandment of the Lord in Mark 13:14. When they, whoever they are on the earth at that time, anyone that was saved during the 3.5 years of tribulation, anyone that's alive at that time, when they see the abomination of desolation, they flee to the mountains because they know the time is short. The coming of the Lord Jesus is right around the corner. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So either you're going to rise and return, that is to say your body rises out of the grave and you return, or you'll be raptured. The word rapture comes from this Latin word which means snatch or carry off. So the angels are gathering or snatching away those that are believers. So Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together in Him. The angels are gathering. Paul talks about the same gathering, the same Greek word. So let's conclude right here. I'll read this text and we'll be done. Just listen. Just listen to these good words right here. And let the Word of God speak into your life. You can read it this afternoon. I want you to see the parallel and then we'll be done. All right, we just read, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Notice verse number 1, chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need to write unto you, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But, contrast, you, brethren, that's us in this room, are not in the darkness. Now that's only if you're born again. We are not in the darkness that the day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. What are we watching for? The signs which Jesus described. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, we are to be sober. We are to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. We instead will obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So anyone who is alive at the tribulation does not have to fear experiencing the wrath of God if they're in Christ Jesus before He pours down that wrath at His second coming. The angels gather us up and out of there. That's incredible words of encouragement. So the real question this morning is, where are you at in this process? Are you going to be gathered by the angel? Or will you be left behind? That's the question. Because He is only gathering those that believe. That's all. Everyone else is left behind. And they will experience wrath and judgment. Only believers are evacuated. It says very clearly, He sends His angels to gather the elect. See, how do I know if I'm an elect? You've put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Could you do that this morning? Yes. Could you start trusting in Christ this morning as your Savior? Absolutely. Could you keep trusting on Christ? Yes. Could you recognize that your sin has separated you from a holy and righteous God and realize that you need a Savior? Yes. Do it right now. Right now. Trust in Christ. Don't leave here. Don't go out those doors not trusting in Christ. Don't take a chance with your eternity. Folks, we don't know where we're at on this timeline. We don't know where we're at. We could be here. We could be here. Joan, we could be right up here. We could be one generation away from global collapse of our economy and an Antichrist rising up. If that's the case, Pastor Duane, lots of people in this room will see it all. Healthy people will see it. They'll see every bit of it. And you will find yourself right here in the midst of this. Do you want to be left behind? Let's pray.